Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you're watching closely, for this is a new trick, or magic, whatever you will, stuff. It's Transported Man 2024. Watch closely. The following podcast contains spoilers for The Prestige. You have been warned.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of KFR News Radio. This is your host, Benjamin Button. I almost said Miguel Magusto.
Oh.
But this over here is Miguel Magusto.
That's me.
Come on over, buddy. Get on
yes,
over here.
I'm in a new room.
You are.
Yes. I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like it's... I haven't put my sound dampening stuff in yet, so I probably sound echoey.
Sometimes change is good.
Yeah. Do I sound echoey?
Yeah. I mean, you sound like a Pringle can, sort of, but...
Okay.
In a good way. Like
yeah,
a handsome one.
So if the sound is not up to snuff as it usually is, I do apologize. I will hopefully fix that in the near future. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Yeah, I got two kids now, so I got to do things for them. Ugh.
Little sacrifices make the dream.
That they do. But Glenn, how are you doing?
I'm okay. As you can tell, I've got my contacts on again.
Mm.
Wow. Sadly, what sucks is I've just spent 4 months without them, so I have to readjust to having them into my eyes, and it's fucking terrible.
That sounds terrible.
Still waiting for the new glasses, so waiting for those bad boys.
Yeah.
But Mike, I watched some things. I did some stuff.
Oh yeah?
Not as well as I should have, but I did it. I did it up.
Yeah, what would you watch? It has been like 3 weeks, so.
Well, at least I was in like a little slump, and I needed a good cheering up. I was mm-hmm. like, man, what could boost my morale right now? And so I just decided to watch Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV.
I also watched that.
But to be honest, I keep fucking falling asleep during the third episode, mainly because I keep watching it pretty late into the night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I'll just watch an episode real quick. And then I repeat that process for 4 nights in a row because I can't fucking finish this one episode that I keep falling asleep to.
Yeah.
So I keep falling asleep during the Drake Bell episode where he confesses some things.
He didn't confess. That's not the right word. It's
confess some things that happened to him.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I guess you could say that, but it's confess usually admits guilt.
Confess something somebody else did to the guy, probably, but maybe not. So I watched most of that. I got to get back to it because I really want to finish. Is it four or five episodes?
There's four episodes. I read that they ordered a fifth episode, which is weird for a series.
Yeah.
And also... I personally think there was a lot of stuff that went horrible mm-hmm. for the children. I think a lot of the things were just kind of like, I don't know. I feel like they were stretches. I would say it was like 33% stretches and then 66% real fucked up stuff that should mm-hmm. have been addressed. But like, it's just the 33% that I was just like, is that really that big of a deal? Was only, you know, expanded to a big deal or elevated to a big deal because of everything else that happened.
But a lot of it
was just like
with the release of this, it's going to cause some other people to come out and tell their sides of the story as well.
I mean, it's obviously something that needed to be told, and it's no secret that children
shit's
have not
fucked.
Been protected. Yeah, shit's fucked. Drew Barrymore had a fucked up childhood because of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Shirley Temple had things happen to her, and you know she was like the original child star.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's kind of been fucked up for a while, and it's good that things are being called out now.
So after that, like I had said, I think the last episode, that I had this whole thing going on with two things. You had no idea what I was talking about with Crunchyroll and Funimation.
Yeah.
Where shit just they were being dickheads, but I have a month of free service to watch what I want before I fucking cancel it and I'm done with it. So I finished the latest season of Demon Slayer. which is was, you know, a season that a lot of people were boasting about being like the fucking best. I still like Entertainment District myself. Hard top in that one, but this new one was pretty good still. Apparently there was a couple episodes of My Hero Academia that I didn't finish, so I finished that on season 6, cranked that one out, started another show called The Sacred Blacksmith, which was just merely okay. There's a reason, there seems to be a reason why it didn't pick up a second season, and that's okay with me. Started a new show that's been getting a lot of hype here called Solo Leveling, which has been a lot of fun and pretty crazy to watch. That's ongoing, so I think there's 2 more episodes or so of that coming out. Mm-hmm. Excited for that. We both watched Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. We'll have some thoughts about that most likely in the future here soon.
We'll see.
We'll see. And then I watched The Prestige. Mm. Mike, what did you get into, you silly
Well, I watched
rabbit.
A bunch. I'm not going to get into it because I went way over my 2 minutes last time. So I'm just going to name a few things. First thing I watched in the 3 weeks since we last recorded, Stanley Kubrick's 1956 film, The Killing. I had never seen it before. It's essentially about a bank heist, or it's a racetrack heist. And it's really interesting, really cool. Like, you know, just cool seeing early Stanley Kubrick movies. Then I watched a movie that is currently my favorite movie of the year, even though technically it's 2023. It was released to the masses in 2024, so it's my favorite movie of the year so far. Sometimes I Think About Dying, starring Daisy Ridley. It's just a really, you know, subtle, quiet film that is interesting to watch, got interesting characters. Daisy Ridley produced it as well. Really enjoy that. You forgot Love Lies Bleeding, which we watched.
I couldn't remember if we talked about that in the last one or this one.
Nope.
So
we
that makes sense
it.
Now.
Love Lies Bleeding, we have a review for that on YouTube. Kristen Stewart and Katie O'Brien, Rose Glass film. Then I watched Chopper, a film from 2000, Australian film starring Eric Bana, which is based on very loosely, they even admit it in the credits, based on the life of a notorious felon in Australia. I forget his name, but Eric Bana plays him, and it's kind of like a dark comedy situation. I really enjoyed that. Let's see what else we got. I watched The Prestige, of course. We're going to get into that in just a second. Then I watched a movie last night called Monster from 2023. Hirokazu, I think is how you pronounce his name. He did Broker, which we reviewed on here. He did Shoplifters, which we had an episode on Shoplifters. It was his latest film. And man, that man needs to be arrested for crimes of making grown men cry. I'll tell you what.
I think he needs to be checked up on, and now you need to be checked up on.
I'm going to try to go through this fast because I don't want to waste too much time. But essentially, it is a story about a kid who tells his single mother that he is kind of being abused by one of his teachers, and then throughout multiple perspectives, you see that it's way more complicated than that. I don't want to get too much into it because I don't want to ruin things. But it's a very interesting movie, especially if you have kids, where it just kind of makes you like sit back and be like, you know, kids do lie. Maybe listen to them and trust them and whatnot. But things aren't as black and white as they seem. I really think it's a very interesting film, very emotional. I highly suggest everyone checks it out if they can. But yeah, that's all I watch. Oh, I'll mention one more. I watched a movie called Out of Darkness, which was from 2022, but came out this year.
Okay.
It's a movie. It's like a horror movie about cavemen.
They first came across fire and how horrific it was.
It's something like hunts them at night, and it's an interesting concept. I feel like it kind of falls in its execution, but I can't say anything more without giving it away. But I do suggest people check out Out of Darkness. It's a movie that a lot of people aren't liking. I thought it was interesting. I don't think it was a great movie, but I thought it was interesting, and I kind of want to have a discussion with someone about it. But without any further ado, let's get into The Prestige.
Every great magic trick consists of 3 acts. The first act is called The Pledge. The magician shows you something ordinary, but of course, it probably isn't. The second act is called The Turn.
He's obsessed with discovering your method.
The magician makes this ordinary something do something extraordinary.
Huh.
Now you're looking for the secret, but you won't find it. That's why there's a third act called The Prestige. This is the part with the twists and turns, where lives hang in the balance.
Julie, come on!
And you see something shocking you've never seen before. This was built by a man who can actually do what magicians pretend to do.
Real magic.
I know what you really are.
How does he do it?
You want the truth.
Nothing is impossible.
Abracadabra.
No more secrets.
Secrets of my life.
After a tragic accident, two stage magicians in 1890s London engage in a battle to create the ultimate illusion while sacrificing everything they have to outwit each other. It is directed by Christopher Nolan, Academy Award winning Christopher Nolan, written by Jonathan Nolan and Christopher Nolan, based on the novel by Christopher Priest, which we'll get into that. Glenn and I both actually read that one.
Yes.
So starring Christian Bale, Hugh Jackman, Scarlett Johansson, Michael Caine, Rebecca Hall, Piper Perabo, David Bowie, Andy Serkis, and many others. This came out in 2006. And it was for a very long time my favorite Christopher Nolan movie. I said in last episode that I went on a date to see it. The first date I ever went on was to see this movie. And the outcome of said opinions of said date may have had something to do with that. Now, granted, this was, how long ago was this? Almost 20 years ago, 18 years ago.
Yeah.
So my memory of this could be very foggy. So I don't want to come out here and say that this is fact. But I remember that she didn't like it. Like, she didn't like it, and I loved it. And I was just like, how do you not like this movie?
Be gone, lady. Be gone.
She didn't hate it, but she didn't love it as much as I did. And back then, I was very like, if you don't like movies I like, I don't know how much I want to
I don't know how we talk could to you. Continue this little thing we got going.
Obviously, I'm a grown adult now. I would not do that now. But back then, a little 16, 15, 17-year-old me, however old I was when this came out, it was a major thing that she didn't like it. So, but does it hold up, Glenn? But
does it hold up?
Yeah, it doesn't.
This was, I think, it's probably still, I have to rewatch the Nolan verse of movies.
Yeah,
but this might still be up there in at least top three Nolan movies.
It's my second favorite. I like Interstellar more.
Yeah, I'd have to rewatch. I haven't seen Interstellar since it came out. But to be fair, I haven't seen this in almost 10 years, so it's kind of roughly around the same time. But yeah, this one was one of my first and my favorites of his.
Yeah.
And then I had read the book when I had moved, or it's either when I moved to Virginia or when I was visiting X on the trips back and forth.
Gonna give it to you.
Huh?
X gonna give it to you.
Oh, there you go. D, we miss you, man. So I can't remember whether it was when I was already living there or when I was visiting, but I popped this book. I was like, oh shit, I didn't know it was a book. And then I don't know who the audiobook guy was narrating it, but he put his whole goddamn pussy into that performance. he was like, Borden. He had to be like,
oh. I agree. So here's the caveat. We read it, but is more, we listened to it. We listened to the audiobook.
I was driving when I was listening to it. So,
but the only thing I didn't like is his American accent was fake. It sounded so fake. And it is fake. It's a fake accent, but like it wasn't believable at all. It kind of anytime a character with an American accent spoke, I was just like, taking me out of it, dude. But yes, other than that, he was great. He was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I mean, when I had listened to the book, a lot of people fucking complain whether or not like the book was better or The movie was better, so on and so forth. I'm not a book person. Obviously, I'm much more of a movie person than I ever, ever was a book person. But when I listen to this book, they're not really similar in any kind of sort of case. In some ways, they are by mostly names.
Yeah.
But, and obviously, occupation.
Hugh Jackman's character in the book is not American. In this, he's American. In the book, he's not.
Yeah, I'll go down the line on that one later, but because I didn't really notice that until this time watching, honestly, or at least I didn't know he was the only one that had the American accent. But yeah. Kind of going back, the book and the movie just aren't the same. I mean, obviously inspired by is mostly kind of the names and occupation again, like I said there, but they're different things. I mean, you can obviously, like I do, I like both mediums a lot. I think they're both genuinely really good for, obviously, the medium that they were created for. Nolan, I think you couldn't necessarily take what was the book and just put it on screen. I think Nolan took what was there and just absolutely fucking killed it. And I still really enjoyed the book for, I mean, what it is. It's been since 2017 since I've listened to it, so... There's a lot that I don't necessarily remember from it. I mean, you're going to have more knowledge than me, obviously. You just finished it recently.
Yeah.
But I thought, I mean, both pieces of medium were really good for each part of the medium that they were from.
Yeah. The thing, I really hate it when people say, oh, it's so different from the book. Because you can't, I understand that when it's like completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just take the name of the movie and then that's, it and you know maybe a few characters
like
and
maybe did you read Hunger Games or no?
No,
I didn't either. But I feel like maybe you can compare that one for sure. But I wouldn't necessarily maybe these two.
Things that work in books just do not necessarily translate well to screen. You know, in books you can have 5 pages to describe 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't obviously do that with film. So when people compare them, I understand being frustrated that they change it a lot, but like to get angry about it is just silly. The book still exists. So mm-hmm. Who cares if the movie doesn't follow it religiously. I think that Christopher Nolan, in my opinion, improved on the story for one reason and one reason only. The book, and I understand why they did this in the book, it tells, other than like the present day stuff, which is in the 90s, it's not today, but present day stuff, it has Borden's perspective and then that ends, and then it has Angier's perspective and then that ends. What I love about the Nolan version is that it goes back and forth between them, and it makes it more suspenseful that way, because it's you know, showing how things escalated, whereas this just like, you know, it escalated.
Yeah.
From Borden's perspective, it escalates way quicker than it needs to, but then you see Angier's perspective and it kind of you understand why it escalated so much on that end, because one of the twins, spoiler alert, there's twins, was sabotaging Angier, and the other one didn't know about it. It also kind of doesn't help that I knew that they were twins in this, because when you hear it in the book, it's so obvious that that's what's going to happen. Like the whole theme of twins and everything is kind of ruins it. But I like the back and forth more than the Borden's perspective, and then we never hear about Borden's perspective ever again, followed by Angier's perspective. And I also didn't care for the present day stuff, but I do understand why it was done for the book. But that's really my biggest gripes with the difference. But the movie, in my opinion, is just a stronger story structure.
The book was made in 55, or was it 55? No, I'm reading 95, it wrong. Sorry, 95. Yeah, I was going to say, that's way more fucking impressive than I was imagining.
the present-day Borden character talks about compact discs. So it would not be 55.
Yeah, I was bad. Context, man. Still fucked up.
I just love how they knew each other in the book to begin with, too. And, you know, or sorry, in the movie. In the book, they don't know each other until this inciting incident happens. But they work together and have a close relationship together, and then that kind of falls apart, which makes it more interesting, in my opinion, that it escalates as much as it does. And I think it's a very interesting story, the way that the changes that Nolan made in hindsight are just way more interesting than the book, in my opinion. The book's still really good. I really enjoyed the book.
Yeah.
But I just think Christopher Nolan took the source material, and Jonathan Nolan as well, and improved upon it. And, I don't know how people who read the book first feel, but that's how I feel.
Yeah. I always want to kind of rewatch these movies that, you know, that I fucking loved, like we did before with Lucky Number 11 and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So this is always great to watch. 2000s Hugh Jackman was always so good to me, but rewatching this, kind of going back to what we were saying earlier, but I hate that Jackman was the only one that was American in this movie, because he was the only one with an accent.
Is Scarlett Johnson or Scarlett Johansson not American?
She had an accent too.
Oh, okay.
Well, like everyone else. Like,
interesting.
She had an accent like everyone else, and Jackman was the only one with what, at least I assume, Robert, stop that.
Yeah, I think you're right, because I think I remember thinking her English accent isn't that great.
Yeah, everyone else had the English accent, and he was the only one. And he's Australian, so you think that at least he'd like be able to sway towards the English accent instead of the American accent after Wolverine and stuff. But no, and I'm pretty sure this character at least is in England, so I don't think he came to England to do magic and then went back to America to go hang out with Tesla. So I don't know. It's not really explained, I don't think.
It's not. This movie really had me kind of missing old Christopher Nolan style, where all his movies now are like, they don't really care so much about the dialogue, where it's just like loud, operatic, grandiose music, which I still love. But, you know, this movie's more like quiet and subdued. And it made me kind of miss the like old Christopher Nolan, like Insomnia, Memento, this, pretty much all the Batman movies are kind of loud too. But like those three movies, I feel like and The Following as well, his first feature.
Yeah.
They're all like really quiet and comparatively to his movies now. And dialogue heavy.
Much more smaller scaled. For sure.
Yes. Yeah. And I kind of miss him having a smaller scale, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, yes, in a way, Oppenheimer's a small scale because it's just talking for the majority of it.
It's so small scale, but it's such a big
It's a massive fucking
thing.
Cast.
Yeah.
It's a massive cast, and you know, the set pieces are huge. So I really just missed. It made me miss old Christopher Nolan. And I still like his new style, but it's just. You know, I feel like he was a more subtle filmmaker back then, which I would love if he went back and forth between the two instead of just focusing completely on fanfare and whatnot. But
yeah, I feel like Inception kickstarted that to make it just. Well, I mean, I guess Batman's more, but Inception really kickstarted
the Dark Knight.
Not going back from there.
Yeah, The Dark Knight was like his first. I don't think that Batman Begins was filmed for IMAX. It was released in IMAX, but I don't think it was filmed for IMAX. I think The Dark Knight was like the first movie he did that was filmed for IMAX. And ever since then, he's just been like, we got to make it big and which is fine, but I do really miss it. Like it's, I don't know. There's so many quiet moments and so many emotional moments in this. Specifically with like Rebecca Hall's character. She's fantastic in this. She plays Sarah Borden. I wish I could go back in time and watch this for the first time again.
Yeah, same here.
Because
little 13-year-old me was just hanging out, had no idea he was watching perfection.
Sometimes I forget, like when you know, 34 and 31 is not a big difference, but
yeah,
16 and 13 is a pretty big difference.
Yeah.
But Yeah, it's just I just remember being completely blown away by it. And that's the thing about movies that I hate the most, is that you can never watch a movie that is leans so heavily on a twist like this does.
Yep.
And you can never watch it without knowing the twist anymore. And I miss that.
Yep, same with, I wish all we could erase our brains as well.
Yeah, the Shyamalan-malians.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, being able to just rewatch this for the first time would be just amazing. I mean, yeah. I enjoyed it just sitting back there on that little couch back there watching it for the probably fourth time, I think. Mm-hmm. Interesting fact, Josh Hartnett was considered a part of Robert Angier.
Really? So, I feel like he'd be...
I'm glad I said like something about Slevin just now.
Feels like he would be a little too young. Like, in the book, he would be about the same age.
Yeah.
But, like, for what they did in this, it seems too young.
But that's pretty interesting right there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's I feel like it's hard to talk about a movie you do love so much, and you don't really have any flaws or things to talk about something you've already talked about so much before, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Shit's amazing. I don't think we talk about Christian Bale at all. Christian Bale is so good in this. And I feel like, I mean, if being able to talk about it for the first time, I feel like you don't really, at least my perspective of it, you don't really, what was his name? Fallon in this? His partner. You don't really see, obviously, you're kind of curious about who the fuck he is, because you don't really, you kind of haphazardly see his face in parts, but you don't actually get to see him.
Yeah, they do a good job at hiding him.
Do a good job of, like, keeping him kind of in the shadows and... keeping you kind of guessing what's going on with that guy. And then obviously toward the end here, when it turns out that, hey, twin brothers, guys, whoa.
Yeah.
You're like, oh shit. That moment, at least for like 13-year-old me, I was like, God damn, that was awesome. Now, you know, rewatching it, you're like, oh, I know what's going to happen now. I know what's going to happen. Even, Hugh Jackman's parts when his little twist was going on, I'm like, damn, they did that so well, but, I mean, I know what happens, so it's not as hard hitting right now. But yeah. when it happened, when I first saw it, I was like, this shit was crazy. My mind is just blowing away. Hugh Jackman did to Hugh Jackman with that gun.
Yeah, he revealed it really, really well. He's always been really good at you know, reveals of stuff like that. He's always been a visual director more than anything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's the fact that they can now. It's hard to know how, because obviously when you're a teenager, your brain's not completely formed yet.
So but I'm like, still trying to get it formed, man.
The two things that they did that when I was 16 and watched it, or 17, however old I was when it came out, Fallon, of course, played by Christian Bale. I thought it was a different guy.
Mm-hmm.
Until the end, I was like, "Who is that? He looks familiar, but I can't place it."
Yep.
He looks familiar because it's Christian Bale.
Yeah, but we've like been watching him this whole movie.
They give him enough makeup where it really kind of fools at least a 16-year-old. So.
Yeah,
And then when they had the drunk actor as the double for Hugh Jackman, I also thought that was a different guy.
I think they gave him like false teeth or something, because there was something like going on with his mouth that made him seem more. Elongated, I guess. Like this, teeth seem longer or something.
It was just, I mean, it was partially Hugh Jackman's performance as Root, where it's just like he really created a different character, and maybe that's why they didn't want him to have a British accent, because as Root he had a British accent.
Yeah, but I feel like they could have gave him Root an American accent. A traveling actor from America kind of would have made sense.
Who knows?
In a way.
Who knows?
But you know, whatever.
It's just an interesting choice. But you know, that one I kind of caught on that it was Hugh Jackman faster than I did Fallon, because there's less makeup and stuff. But still, for like a good 5 minutes, I was like, "Who is that actor? He looks a lot like Hugh Jackman."
Yeah.
And Hugh Jackman was just fun playing a drunk. Like, you could tell he had fun with it. And I love it when you could tell actors have fun. And you could tell he had fun with that. And also, this movie made me realize we need more movies where Hugh Jackman is a villain, because he's really good at playing a villain.
He is.
Because, you know, if they're both human and they both have their own sides of the story and everything. But if you had to pick one of them as the villain, it's obviously Angier. Because, you know, he kind of jumpstarts the whole thing, understandably, by not being able to get over the death of his wife.
Yeah.
And he kind of lets it consume him.
Yeah. They consumed each other with it big time, but it was definitely a lot more Robert than the Borden twins.
And the one thing I kind of liked in the book that I wish they did in this is that they were both debating whether or not they should reconcile their differences. And then just never let themselves get to they. Neither of them could swallow their pride. That was the one thing that I thought was the most interesting thing about the difference from the book.
Yeah.
Is that like every five chapters or so, they'd be like, I should really. And even Borden contacts him, Angier, and kind of apologizes and everything. But then, you know, things escalate from there. But I thought that that was an interesting thing that I wish they included in the book.
I could see in this maybe maybe Sarah or Olivia trying to get him to reconcile. But for Robert, he didn't have anybody to tell him other than Cutter. He didn't really have anybody to try to sway him to try to maybe forgive him in any way. I could see if they were going to go that route, maybe like one of the two girls doing it for Alfred. But for Robert, he didn't have anybody. So, I mean, we could have had a scene where Alfred tries to reach out, but Robert just like slaps his hand away for, you know, a handshake or something like, fuck you, man, you killed my wife and shit. Which, I mean, in a way sort of happened, I guess, during the funeral. Like he came to pay his respects and he's like, Kind of not you do, man.
Well, I mean, that's also, because that's the thing about the twin is like the one who went to apologize was not the one who tied the knot, which obviously.
Yeah.
You realize at some point. And it's just there's so many details to this that you're just when you think about it, you're just like, man, that makes so much sense. Like,
it's got a lot of layers to it.
Yeah, it really does. There are aspects of this, the book of this, that I do, you know, during our conversation, I was kind of thinking about it. It's like, I do like part of the modern day stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy kind of being obsessed with finding his twin, that he thought was separated at birth. But I feel like that would have been too much to do in a movie. And that's the big thing about books and movies is that there's so much in books that you just don't have the time for in a movie.
Well, I feel
which is why a lot of books now are becoming series.
I feel like in this as well, it would have kind of taken away, especially if they kind of did a back and forth between modern day and these guys, it would have taken away just the intensity of Borden and Angier. You'd be like, oh, let's go back forward two generations or three generations. Okay, let's go back again. And then I feel like we were living in the moment when it was just the story between the two.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Instead of the other way around. And plus, then we would have had to learn that, you know, Robert did end up having kids and shit. So the ending for this would have just been kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Considering, hey, spoiler, Robert actually does die, or maybe he actually had clones. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. I do like how it explains how he is able to be wealthy in the end in the book. How I mean, granted, I watched this because I thought we were going to record it earlier before I listened to the audiobook. So maybe they did show and I just didn't pick up on it. But, you know, in the book, he's putting coins in his pocket. So every time he's cloned, he gets twice as many coins at the end.
Yeah, this they didn't really. I mean, I had assumed because he did 100 days straight or some shit.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't know where he did end up getting all this money because him and Borden were kind of doing things like across the street from each other. So he was being the highest paid performer. But was it getting him paid that well that he was owning a mansion and that he could go travel to America? And
he's also a duke in the book
a
too?
A lord. In the book, I don't remember, to be honest. But in this, he was Lord Caldwin.
Well, I think lord is just what you call a duke.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't know. We had a war about that. we had a war about that, so we don't need to think about it anymore. But yeah, it's a very, I love this movie so much, mm-hmm. and you're right, it is just hard to talk about because there's not really any negatives I have about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of, you know, all positives. I like it. It's good movie.
The only thing that kind of stumped me with this go around is that I kind of didn't realize before is, do you think Cutter knew that there were twins the whole time?
That's a good question,
right? Because I mean, he does say, he's like, they've had doubles, Master Wayne. They had doubles, but he never kind of,
which this is the most Michael Caine role of Michael Caine ever. Michael Caine.
Yeah. So. Also, I said that I was going to practice his accent, and I never did. So I apologize.
It's fine.
A Michael Caine accent isn't coming out as well as I'd hoped. But he constantly says to Robert that he has a double, but he never alludes to the fact that we know that he knows there's twins. He just mm-hmm. knows there's a person at the other end of that trick.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then he's surprised that Angier is alive at the end, but there's not really a big surprise when Fallon turns out to be the twin, like when mm-hmm. he's face to face with him. It's not really a surprise. Yeah. He's hanging out with their daughter. I don't remember the daughter's name. I think it was it Jess? No, it wasn't Jess. I don't remember. But they're hanging out with the Borden's daughter. And there's like no surprise to it. It's just like, then it got me thinking about that a lot. I'm like, did he know the whole time?
It's either he knew the whole time and because of his oath, he just didn't ever tell,
mm-hmm.
or, it was something that had come forward after, the one who gets executed yeah. was arrested. So yeah, I don't think it's really important how he knew or when he knew,
mm-hmm.
But that you're right. It is, you know,
but
if you dig too deep into it, it's like, did he know?
Yeah,
did he?
It's a new thing that this go around. One nice thing about rewatching this is that's like the one thing I got out of this that had me like, oh shit, did he yeah. do that thing? Did he know? Did yeah. he brain power that? I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't have too much else to say. It's a solid film. I love it. I love the world it creates. I love, cause when I was growing up, there was this show, either in the late '90s or early 2000s where this masked magician revealed magician secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing was just like, if I showed my face, the magicians would kill me, which I think that's probably an exaggerated thing.
Yeah.
But you know, that's always been like a lore where it's just, obviously it's kind of a dick move to give away how someone does a trick if mm-hmm. if that's how they make their living. But it's just an intriguing story to have this feud regarding two magicians. It's just a world that was really interesting to explore. And I'm glad mm-hmm. that not only did they write a book about it, Christopher Priest, but Christopher Nolan, Jonathan Nolan wrote and made a movie about it.
Absolutely.
So I don't have anything else to say really.
Same here. Fantastic cast, fantastic performances. Still one of my favorite Nolan movies, if not mm-hmm. my favorite Nolan movie still. I'd have to rewatch his Verse, like I said before. Just an amazing film overall. Honestly, very fucking underrated. Not when people talk about Nolan's films and like rank them, Prestige is just not nearly high enough every time.
Yeah.
Because everybody's kind of clouded by the new stuff, and which is fine, which is everybody's opinion is their opinion.
They're clouded by the big action pieces.
Remember, the smaller movies are, the scale doesn't have to be big at all times to be good.
Yeah.
Think about that.
In fact, scale is often the reason that movies are bad.
There you go.
Just saying.
Looking
just
at.
Just saying.
You.
Simpler movies are often better.
Movies that I won't announce anymore.
Yeah. You got anything else to say?
I think that's about it.
All right, so that does it for a review of The Prestige. That brings us to the judgment. As always, it needs to be a unanimous decision whether I go to the KFR show with the legs of Possible and Handmaiden. This was my pick, so I got to go first.
Yes.
I said that really fast. I think it's very clear. This is still my second favorite Christopher Nolan movie. It was only beat out by Interstellar because Interstellar is a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And I still really love it. I love the world it builds. I love that it involves Tesla and, you know, the turn of the century when electricity was becoming a thing. The feud between magicians is really interesting. It has really cool tricks that it creates that the magicians do, both, you know, just typical and scientific. And yeah, it's just a really solid movie. Everyone's great all around, and I say it does go on the shelf.
This movie was dookie poo-poo.
I guess I have to break up with you now.
Yeah, please don't do that.
To be clear, we were not at the stage in our relationship where we were dating, so no one broke up with anyone. It just happened.
So there's no reason for Mike to break up with me. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. This bad bitch is going on that goddamn shelf, and so is the audiobook. Yeah. Put them right next to each other. I like both a lot.
The book's really good.
And remember, I don't know. I have to find that audiobook that I listened to, but that guy put his goddamn pussy into that vocal performance.
Well, I could tell you who did it on mine. I got to see if I'm going to play you a little clip and see if it's the same guy. Simon Vance.
Simon Vance. I'll have to.
I don't
want to
download it. I just want
to
play it.
I'll have to look it up later. I can't remember where I listened to it. I think it was like through Samsung's like Play Store. Because this was years ago, before Spotify.
A woman in late middle age, whom I addressed as Mrs. Angier, but she merely took my name, looked intently at my press card, then showed me into a side room and asked me to wait. The stately scale of the room, simply but attractive.
Is that the same guy?
I don't know, but I specifically remember when he did, Algier's voice.
Yeah.
Borden.
Yeah, when he was.
He stressed that old man vocal part a lot.
Yeah.
Borden.
Anyway, we're getting way off topic.
Yeah.
So, The Prestige does go on the KFR shelf with the likes of Apostle and Handmaiden. That brings us to next week's or next episode's movie. Mm-hmm. It is Glenn's turn to pick. So, Glenn.
Yes.
What are we watching?
This bad boy is going to be a mighty throwback for a lot of people who just...
Ooh.
Mike, you can watch this with your kids. Congratulations. Mm. You're welcome.
I mean, I've watched some things with my kids that I probably shouldn't have, so...
That's all right. This is one that I've been waiting for kind of to come onto any streaming services. I kind of check every now and again when we do these. But it finally... I finally fucking found it. It's on the Roku channel and Tubi. But this movie is Cats Don't Dance.
This spring, Turner Feature Animation introduces you to some new characters you'll love in a story that could only happen in the movies. It's about a cat named Danny. He's got a dream. He's going to Hollywood.
Hollywood, where the streets are paved with gold.
And he's ready to dance his way to the top. So join Danny.
I guess we're going to be the only two cats on the ark, huh?
Sawyer.
So much for preserving the species.
Tilly.
I hear hippos are very, very big on Broadway.
They're big everywhere, darling.
Wooly. And Pudge.
Uh-oh, I'm busted.
Along with all of their incredibly hilarious and entertaining new friends. And... Darla Dimple. Child star extraordinaire.
I am an angel.
And her faithful assistant, Max.
Max!
Yes, Miss Dimple.
But what Danny doesn't know is she's the only star who can keep all his dreams from coming true.
I hate animals!
See you in the movies.
Cats Don't Dance.
Leaves you kind of speechless, don't it?
I remember watching this movie so fucking much on VHS. When we were little, I was 4 when this came out. I'm pretty sure my sister was like a year old by then. But Cats Don't Dance. Danny, an ambitious singing and dancing cat, goes to Hollywood and overcomes several obstacles to fulfill his dream of becoming a movie star. Directed by Mark Dindale. That's a crazy last name. Written by Rick Calabash, Robert Lentz, Mark Dindale as well. Stars Scott Bakula, Jasmine Guy, and Natalie Cole.
Scott Bakula.
What did I say?
It's Scott Bakula. It's just I've never heard it Bakula before.
I didn't want that fucker to shed his teeth out and bite me in the neck, man.
Scott Bakula,
Natalie Cole, Ashley Peldon, Lindsay Ridgway, Kathy Najimy, John Rhys Davies, and many more are in there as well. But yeah, this is like, imagine like La La Land, but, you know, 30 years older and with cats. That's kind of what it is in a way, sort of.
Your math is completely wrong.
30 years?
It's like 20 years.
No.
1997.
Your math's correct. Get away from me. Yeah. anyway, but so yeah, you can watch this with your kid. Kid as a plural.
I guarantee you he's not going to want to watch
one, it. One of them definitely is not going to be paying attention to it. So
when it's just my eldest boy, he will only watch Monster Trucks,
yeah,
Blippi, Miss Rachel, or Cars. Anything else, he might watch it for 5 minutes, but then he goes, no.
sounded like my nephew for a little while there.
Yeah. I think it's just the age he's at. And also, honestly, I'm not thrilled. But
luckily
we'll see.
For you, it's short. Hour 15 yeah, minutes, rated G. There's
minutes,
one
yeah.
song in there that still fucking like gets stuck in my head to this day. And I'm about it. So
yeah.
Can't wait, honestly.
Yeah. So Cats Don't Dance. Honestly, I feel like I'd rather watch the Cats movie that everyone hates.
I hope not. I think you'll be all right.
Cats Don't Dance on Roku channel or Tubi. That is our assignment for next episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. As always, you can check out our website at www.KeystoneFilmReview.com. On Instagram, we're Keystone_Film_Review. Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, Keystone Film Review. And on Letterboxd, I'm Mike KFR.
And I'm Glenn KFR.
And that will do it until next week when we watch something that kind of looks like Sing. But not the animated movie Sing.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Scott Bakula, as Glenn likes to call
Bakula.
Him, is going to lead the way as a feline fancy boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Meow, everybody.
Right, meow.